This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, 12:03, flying by. Cord Wilson's going to join us in about an hour from now. Steve Lloyd, Kenny Wall's with you today. Now, Kenny, Mark Mathot was with us yesterday. And he kind of hit the ground running right off the top of the show.
So right? I heard.
So it was interesting, right? He had a, you know, it was kind of like Festivus for meth off the top yesterday. He had some issues, and he was going to let us know. He was having some Wi-Fi problems. It was too hot. The bagel that he had purchased was awful. From a place somewhere in the market, right? So he was having some concerns there right off the top, and you joined us at 11, and he that it was mitigated a little bit, but you know, I just, you know, sometimes you have some of these similar concerns. Are we good today?
You think so?
Yeah, well, yeah, not exactly at that level, right?
Okay,
but you know, no, sometimes. Sometimes you got a few concerns. I just want to make sure. I'm just checking in on you, Kenny. We're told to check in on our friends. I'm checking in.
Aside from a massive amount of talent that Mark has, I think we're very similar.
Okay.
In you don't want to hold anything in. Why would you want to hold anything in? You need to get it out. Don't let it boil over. You get it out, and then it's done. Maybe now not done, but because people keep on needling him. But it's mostly done. And he's back to being the Twitter troll that he...
Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Okay.
Yeah, I brought his name up on purpose. I'm just going to pivot to our web poll question of the day, brought to you by the Tool and Equipment Store, because the early returns were going in one direction. And then Mark Mathot voted on it, and then he chimed in, and it's kind of gone in another direction for the last little while here. So here is the Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day, brought to you by the Tool and Equipment Store. Hit our website at tsn1200.ca. Now, who's been Ottawa's most important player in the first 50 games? And I heard Jer and Hammer hashing this out this morning. Because in the end, people are going to interpret the question however they want, right? But the intended purpose of the interpretation of the question is basically take one of these guys out, right? Because they've done well recently. They're, you know, got one more win than they do loss. And I know you can get in. No, they don't, because of the after regulation column, whatever. Semantics. But who's been Ottawa's most important player in the first 50 games? Is it Tim Stützle? Is it Brady Tkachuk? Is it Claude Giroux? Is it Jake Sanderson? Cast your vote on the website, tsn1200.ca. And early, Sanderson was winning. Very early. Then Meth weighed in. It's Brady, and it shouldn't be close. And the tide turned. Brady's winning. 41.4% of the vote. A lot of action on this one. We're over 2,700 votes now already. So Brady's leading the way. Second is now Giroux. Got his 20th goal of the season last night. Off his hand. Off his shot from Zaitsev. FA, they all count. Not bad. Adds another 20-goal season to his resume. Third is Stützle, coming off his four-point game. Actually, no, he's second now. He's 32% to Tim Stützle, coming off his four-point game. And last is Sanderson, and he was the early guy at 8.3%. So that's the power of meth, our good friend.
Yeah, thanks, Crystal.
Yes, right.
Votes went way up. Can't be a bad thing. I agree with Mark. I think that it's Brady Tkachuk, captain, leading the team in points, maybe not points per game, but leading the team in points, sets the tone each and every night. You can't take that out of your lineup and remain the same type of competitive team. And the fact that he's so durable is incredible, the way that he plays the game. He's less physical, less throwing the big hits now, but he's still Brady Tkachuk, and Had a few Habs mad at him last night. Scores the game winner goal. Any big moments, it seems to be Brady Tkachuk stepping up. That's where my initial thought went, even before Crystal chimed in on it.
All right, I'll let you do it, because people might not have listened yesterday. Why are we now calling Matt Crystal?
His defensive coach, Gord Dwyer, in Columbus. Was that who it was?
Gord Murphy. Murphy's dad.
Yeah. They didn't see eye to eye, and then that's just what they called him on the bench. It was Crystal. Instead of meth, it was Crystal. So I'm going with it now. I enjoy it. Especially since they didn't have the best looking eye to eye relationship. A little more needling. I like it.
And we kind of timelined it. Part of the reason why that would have been top of mind was that was right around when Breaking Bad was becoming huge. Crystal meth. Mark Methot. There you go. So that's why he told us about that. We didn't ask. He offered that up.
Yeah.
And now there have texts that came in yesterday referring to him. Can you ask Crystal this? So now he's Crystal, I guess. So there you go. So there it is. Who's been Ottawa's most important player in the first 50 games? Stützle, Tkachuk, Giroux, Sanderson. Brady's leading at 41.4. Stützle, 32. Giroux, 18.3. Sanderson, 8.3. And, yeah, when you really look through it, you could make a case for all four, talk about the positives, why mm-hmm. they get some votes, and that's legit. But when you factor in, you know, everything that Brady Tkachuk means to the team, you know, he is the captain. He is the guy. DJ Smith uses this phrase a lot, and he's not wrong. Oftentimes, he'll drag the team into the fight, right, with how competitive he is. And he's better than a point a game. It's like how can you sit here and argue that Brady Tkachuk is not the correct answer to that question?
Yeah, I do believe that you can make a case for everybody else. Like, where would this team be without Jake Sanderson right now, filling in a top four role as a rookie?
Nowhere close to where they are now.
Nowhere close. The leadership that Claude Giroux has brought in has been great, and we just gushed about Tim Stützle for an entire segment. So yeah. You're right. There are points to be made for everybody else, but as we just laid out, it's Brady Tkachuk, and he's the guy that you want at the front of your team. All 32 teams around the NHL want a guy like that, if not Brady Tkachuk himself, to be maybe not always the depending on who else is there, maybe not the face, but one of the faces of their franchise. He's a marketing person's dream. He's out there. He's smiling. He's involved in the play each and every game. That's exactly what you want, and he helps your team win on a nightly basis.
And the other thing with Brady Tkachuk as well, and this is another recency bias thing. I mean, was it last season, the season before? Remember he ended up having the breakaway and he showed off, he's a lot better skater, people give him credit for. And he goes in and he had the overtime goal at the Bell Center, you know, to win a game. He just, in these rivalry games, he's showing up.
Yeah.
And that absolutely, you know, matters as well. No question about it. So keep your votes coming on our website at tsn1200.ca. Now, the thing that we haven't discussed this at all till now, but I was texting with some people during the game last night, and I was just like, listen, Brady Tkachuk should not be fighting Arbor Jacki.
No.
Do not do that for a couple of reasons. Arbor Jacki, you can make the argument, might be the scariest fighter in the league already. And I'm including Ryan Reeves, and I'm including DeLaurier. You know, pick a guy. Like, he is already in that conversation. I think if you get into a fight with Arbor Jacki, you could get injured. Would you agree on that?
Yep.
He is, that kid is scary when he drops the gloves. He is so big, so thick, so strong, and knows what he's doing. You watch him fight, he knows how to fight. He's not just big and strong. He knows where to hold you, knows where to pummel you.
Yeah, he's, and he played in the OHL last year, where you can't really fight anymore. There's the three fight limit unless you're instigated upon, and then that gets elevated. So he's learning on the fly as well. Yes, he knew how to fight a little bit. He had a knockout of a player that led to a suspension because of a gesture that he made after the fight. But he's still learning and he's still progressing in how he fights. He is going to be absolutely terrifying as he progresses through his NHL career, because the fact is that he's only 21 years old right now. And
yeah, so Brady will fight anybody, Kenny, as you know.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, don't do it. You know what? And I wouldn't put it by Brady to get in a fight. And you know what? He could hold his own. But it's that element. There's that one part of it. Sorry, I just want to finish my thought. You just, because you know the player well from junior. And the other part is, and listen, this isn't the guy on Ottawa radio, and I'm just trying to throw barbs. Arbor Jack guy is a nice story. Arbor Jack guy is a depth guy, you know, on the Habs blue line. He ended up, what, being -5 over the last two losses to the Sens. He made a terrible read on the game-winning goal last night. It's Brady Tkachuk is the captain, top-line winger, all-star representative. Do not fight that guy. Because Arbor Jack guy, if you get under Brady's skin and you get him in the box for 5 minutes, that's a big win. Huge win. So I'm watching the little back and forth, and it's spicy, and it's enjoyable to watch because that's part of hockey, right? We all like it, you know? But I'm thinking just from the Sens perspective, don't do it, Brady. Don't fight this guy. You need these 2 points if you truly think you're going to get on this run that you're not going to give up on and you should never give up. It's more important for you to be in the game. And he didn't fight him. And who got the game-winning goal? Brady Tkachuk.
And I preface this with saying I really like how Arbor Jack guy has been able to establish himself in the NHL and has really built himself up. He's had a tremendous rookie season already, but at 49 games into his NHL career, no disrespect to him because I think he is he's going to be a very good NHL. You want that guy out on the ice if you're the Ottawa Senators. Yeah, he can be a little scary. Yeah, he can be a little mean. But you want him out on the ice in those situations. And I don't want to say that with any disrespect, because from where he came, starting with the Kitchener Rangers as a free agent signing at 17 years old, where like now, opposing teams wanted him on the ice because there just wasn't that necessary skill and footwork to be able to get the job done. He's turned himself into a quality NHL player. But he's still not at that upper echelon, and you can't trade off your captain, your leading scorer for that player. And I don't think that Brady Tkachuk is afraid of anybody. If the situation is right in the first period and Arbor Jack guy and he get tangled up, I wouldn't be surprised if eventually they did drop their gloves. But last night was not the time for it. There will be a fight between the two, I would imagine, but Brady Tkachuk's too smart of a player to engage at that point in time with a guy like Arbor Jack guy.
Like, when I think of the two seasons ago, remember when he fought Weber in Montreal?
Yeah.
Well, like, and Shea Weber didn't fight often, but everybody knew, yeah.
Man Mountain.
Hang on tight. And Brady was, what, 20, 21 years old at the time. And he didn't convincingly win the fight, but he didn't lose the fight. It was impressive that he took that on. But Weber was a top pairing D, right? Made a little more sense. Yep. At that stage of their careers, it was worse for the Habs. Weber probably shouldn't have done that. Because Brady was a good player, but he's a good young player. You're your number one D. You got to know when your moments are in certain games. But and just to go back, because I didn't bring that up to run down Jack Eye.
No.
Tell you what, man, I want him on my team.
Oh.
I want that guy on my team. Their intimidation still matters. It's not the same game that it was, but it still matters. And you know what? Yeah, he made a bad read I mentioned on the goal last night, and he had a tough couple of games that way. He's a young kid, and he's learning. He's got some understated skill to him. He can move for a huge guy. He moves pretty well. Give me that guy to develop on my bottom pairing all day long.
That is
one heck of a find by the Montreal Canadiens.
As a free agent signing, absolutely. To be playing professional, well, in the NHL, a year after playing junior hockey and going to the Memorial Cup with the Hamilton Bulldogs, to be in the NHL as a free agent signing, never drafted anywhere, is a testament to how hard he works. I heard stories about him in the gym, and this can also go back to the fighting, where when he was traded to Hamilton They only had 90 pounds barbells, or not barbells, dumbbells. And he asked, is this all you have? Like, the kid's he's a workout fiend, and he needs to get in there. He needs to do that, and that's part of the reason why he's been able to establish himself as an NHL player at this young age, a year out of junior hockey. You can't emphasize that enough, because that doesn't happen with free agent signings, to do it for the entire year, make the team out of camp, essentially. It's not. I don't want to run him down, and saying you want him out on the ice, that's just a comparable to other players, because the development curve for this young man, I think, is going to be solid. And whether he gets anything more than a 4-5-6 defenseman, who knows? But that's, you need those players on your team as well, and you need that intimidation factor, because there are players, and I can speak for OHL players, that were afraid of him. And moving up into the NHL, there's going to be other players who are afraid of him, especially when he turns 25, 26, 27.
Absolutely. All right. We'll take a break. Keep those votes coming on our web poll about the most important senator so far this season. Brady seems to be, he's got a pretty healthy lead. Stutzla a little within shouting distance, but you can move the needle if you disagree that Brady is the answer. So the options are Sanderson, Giroux, Stutzla, and Brady Tkachuk. At our website, tsn1200.ca, the tool and equipment store, web poll question of the day. We're back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, good to hear from Spencer. A couple came in. 12-1200. It's also funny that Wi-Fi tried to fight Brady. I'm also going to call Meth Crystal more. Sorry, Meth. Horse is out of the barn. It was Meth's fault. He is now Crystal. Early nickname that an assistant coach tried to hang on him when he was with the Blue Jackets. At the height of Breaking Bad. Dave says on Jack Eye, he honed his craft dealing with the unruly Costco members. Not getting in without a card, people.
Oh, did he work at Costco? I hadn't read that anywhere.
Did they call him Pickles?
Imagine okay. That.
Spencer's not a fan, though. Wi-Fi is not an NHL caliber player. Nice story, but he's a meathead and a defensive liability. I wouldn't go that far, Spencer.
No.
I know that rivalries run deep, and he'd be an easy guy that you don't like if you're a hardcore fan of another team. I get it. But to me, that's I don't know what he can be, but I know what he is already. And if all he is a 5-6 guy, give you 12 to 14 minutes a night, and just be a mean SOB and not hurt you out there, the mean SOB part still matters in the NHL. It still matters. The game has changed. It's not like it used to be, but if you've got a guy that can get up and down the ice at his size and just be intimidating, because that will always be a thing, that's a valuable player.
And the other thing is that he seems to enjoy it. He likes his role.
Yep.
And he's willing. Guys like that who come from nothing. Like, he wasn't invited. He got invited to the Kitchener Rangers OHL camp at 17 years old after not being drafted, undrafted into the NHL, went to the Montreal Canadiens, signed out of camp. So there's obviously something there about the kid that when you meet him and you see him, it clicks. And, okay, we need to get this guy on our team. But he's going to appreciate these things so much more and be willing to do that much more, I think, just to stay there, because he knows that it's not a given. You don't get drafted, it's not a given that you're going to be sticking around the NHL. So I think he not only enjoys the physical aspect of the game, one of the few who still does, but he thrives on it. And I saw that throughout the OHL where, he's big, he's mean, he's physical, but he's also got that chippiness to him, not take anything after whistles, and it's not always dropping the gloves, but it's just being a complete jerk out there in a good way. And, like you said before, he's a guy that you want to have on your team in a depth role.
Joe in Stittsville, we made this point earlier, but succinctly puts, no reason for an all-star captain to fight a number six defenseman. Gains mean too much chance of injury. Yeah, But there was a time last night, Joe, I'm sure you're taking that game in. You're thinking, he could do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And he didn't. And he ended up getting the game-winning goal. Brady Tkachuk did. Another one came in here. I think this refers to Jack Eye as well. Pretty sure Mr. Wi-Fi, yeah, spent some time at the PP this year and had some success. My opinion, he's the most intriguing rookie in the NHL. Can't wait to see how far he can go. Me and my buddies joke when he showed up to the Rangers, he said, "Where's the gym and how do I skate?" was it that blunt, Kenny? I don't think so, but point taken.
Yeah,
so he was hat in hand to make the OHL, and same with the NHL.
And even his first year, he wasn't a regular out there, and when he did play, the skating was poor. So he's worked on it very hard to get to the point that he is now, and full credit to him. I don't know about the most intriguing rookie in the NHL. I think there's a lot of good young players, but he certainly is interesting, that's for sure.
This is for Kenny. It says, is Wi-Fi Junior any good? I saw him flying around the OHL somewhere.
Yeah, Florian Jacki. He is the younger brother, 18 years old, another free agent signing. He went to Hamilton, his hometown. He started out very hot and has cooled down since. Doesn't have necessarily the size that Arbor has, but Florian can skate. He's a forward. He's dropped the gloves a couple times, I believe. Pretty good forechecker. I don't know whether there's an NHL future or professional future for him, but at the OHL level, he's going to be very effective. It's whether the offense ever comes. And it didn't come for Arbor until his 20-year-old season, essentially. So there is a chance.
All right. This one come in. How dare I actually speak about another player on another team? Mike in Orleans is upset, so is Seaver. I'll read your text. Yeah, sure, Lloydie. -5 in two games is very intimidating. He's a beast, but at what cost to the team, Mike in Orleans? Okay, if plus-minus is so important to you, Mike, do you want to talk about Batherson? -1 last night. Now he got back up to -30. After he got it under 30, going +3 the last few games, but he got it there. You brought it up.
Jack has a -7 on the season. -5 in the last two games, sure. But he's a -7 on that team right now.
On that team. So, come on. Come on.
Yeah. No, you can compliment a player and still understand that he's going to have bad games and bad results.
And you can compliment a player and understand that in the moment, it's okay to hate that guy. It can be two things because you are such... Of course, like, this is basic stuff, right? Montreal Canadian fans... love Brendan Gallagher. Every other team in the league fan base hates Brendan Gallagher. Oops, I fell on your goalie. The bleep-eating grin that he has when he's the yakking that he does when he went after Stutzlund. He dives around the ice the same. There's lots of video evidence. Competitor, though, right? You want competitive guys on your teams. Seaver writes, please continue to prop up the useless pylon. Love the kudos he's getting. Keep him, Habs. It'll be a fatal flaw for the organization. Okay, maybe. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Maybe.
Yeah. Let's let them go through their rebuild and come out the other side. And if he gets propped up at some point to a 2-3 defenseman, then they have an issue. Because I don't think that's what he is. But if they can keep him in that role, well-suited and slotted well, he's not going to be a flaw. He's going to go out there. He's going to be a presence. It's all about the rest of the construction of the team. If he's your top defenseman, yeah, you have a fatal flaw.
Oh, exactly. You can't play high up in your lineup. Let's be clear on that.
But if he's Mark Borowiecki out there playing in a 5-6-7 role, you've got a good player who can play down in your lineup and play 12 to 15 minutes a game. Maybe he's playing a little bit too much right now at 19 minutes, but it's going to happen on a young team with a ton of injuries. Let him go out there, let him develop at this point in time because he's got the physical tools to do it. I don't think that's a fatal flaw for any organization to have a big, young, tough player.
All right, keep him coming in here. I did not mean to spend this much time on it, but those texts came in. Just started out with Brady Tkachuk and part of the web poll, pivoted to, that's another element from last night, that I was watching the game, taking it in, and I'm thinking, do not fight that guy for a few different reasons. and very happy that Brady Tkachuk decided not to. Still got involved, but was still in the game to score that game-winning goal. And Sens fans and the Sens themselves head happy into the break on a four-game streak. And he's off to the All-Star game, is Brady Tkachuk. And just to reiterate, so this is a long break for the Sens. They play last night in Montreal, and they're not going to practice until Thursday evening on February the 9th is when they're going to be back on the practice ice. And the next game is a 12:30 face-off, in fact. So that'll be a morning pregame show on Saturday the 11th, home game against the Edmonton Oilers. Then they're home to Calgary on Monday, and then it's a back-to-back with travel. The next night they're on Long Island, or Belmont, to take on the Islanders. So that's where the games start to come quickly, and then they play two nights later, and there's another back-to-back in the next three-game set, and that gets us back to Kenny. Forsberg's played very well. Let's, for Sens fans' sake, that maybe it's more of the three-week variety rather than the 3-4 that Darren Dreger was talking about with the injury to Cam Talbot, because as well as Forsberg's playing, that would be a tough task to ask him to play six straight games coming out of the break, and there's two back-to-backs in that stretch as well, because now they still believe that they're making a push, right? This isn't about, well, you know, let's give the kids a look. No. They've won four in a row. We know, we can all look at it from afar, like the math is not in their favor still, but they think they're making a push. So it would be a little more convenient if you could have another bona fide NHL goaltender ready to go.
Yeah,
at some point early in that, because Matt Sogard, yeah, maybe. He's a maybe if he can come in there and play well for you at this level. I think he's a heck of a prospect, but he's missed a ton of time this year with injury.
And he hasn't been spectacular when he has been in, by the numbers anyway. I'm not watching him, but I like the traits that he has in his game, and being as a monster in net doesn't hurt, but he's got some good traits in his game, and that's what you have to look at for goaltenders are those traits, and as you move up levels, sometimes it gets that little bit easier where you can read the play to a better extent. But you can't just throw him in there if you do want to continue to compete and not throw in the towel. One game, maybe. Two games, okay. Beyond that, you're getting into a situation where, yeah, you need that legitimate NHL backup, and they don't have anybody else in the organization who can do that. The bigger question, and I asked Ian this, is what do you do come the trade deadline? If you are looking for a move and you want you get a decent offer for Cam Talbot and you're considering moving him, do you just hold on to him because you don't have anybody else in the organization that can do that role proven right now? Do you believe that you're that far out of it where, okay, we'll give Sogard 25-35% of the starts from here on out and we'll see how it goes? Is it a matter of, do you have to get a goaltender back? Do you go to the waiver claim? I think it's fascinating to see what's going to happen if they do decide to move Cam Talbot come the trade deadline, which I would do. I've stated a few times on here that I've never been a giant Cam Talbot fan. I think he's a good goaltender. He's a very good goaltender on a good team, and I think he's an average goaltender on a decent team. And I think that's shown out over the course of his career. And I just don't know whether he can help bring this Sens team to the next level. So in saying that, if you send him to a good team, I think he can help out a very good team reach that next level if they have some goaltending issues or provide a little bit of depth in that area. I just don't know what the next step would be for the Ottawa Senators come their goaltending if they maintain the pace that they're on and they can get back into potentially playing meaningful games. I think it's a difficult scenario to plan out.
Well, yeah, that's the one variable, right? If they can continue on it, like, listen, they won four in a row. They're going to lose again, folks. But will they have another deep enough valley that it's going to be the death knell? It's like, all right. Now there's no debate. You can't even hold out the slimmest of margins hope, right? Then this decisions like that are easy at that stage. But if they can continue to track and play well enough and get themselves to the point where they're feeling like, you know what, we're not done yet, then it does get interesting on a few, because whatever these players are, go up and down the lineup. The goalie, the D, the forwards that are possibilities to be moved at the trade deadline. Nobody's of the ilk is like, well, we can't afford not to do this. Look at the return we'll get. No. There's none of that, right? They're all going to be, you can get something for them, because there are some good depth guys that I think other teams that are bona fide contenders, definite playoff teams that are looking to add some depth to their lineup. Yeah, they're going to have some guys that will be wanted. But it's not like, well, we can't afford to let this guy walk and get nothing for him. They don't have any of that. They don't have any Bo Horvats, right? It's all kind of depth, kind of roles and positions. So it will be interesting to see where the team's at as they get closer to the trade deadline and how they kind of evaluate. Exactly. You talk about the goaltending perspective, but, you know, there could be some spots like slotting still matters for development of some of their young guys through the rest of the season. Like, it's one thing to say, well, I'll give everybody a chance. Well, you know, yes, you want to do that. You want to start to filter guys through your lineup, guys that have been in Belleville, and see what you got if you're at that stage of your season. But at what cost, right? You want to make sure that you're still creating an environment where you have an opportunity to properly develop and succeed at the NHL level. So many elements. Everything's a moving part, as we know. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll come back. Gord Wilson's going to join the conversation as our Sens at NHL Insider. He's coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll continue to get to more of your text messages at 12-1200. I got another 4-pack of tickets to give away. And Kenny, let's do that right now, shall we?
Let's do it. Okay.
I'll make it easy on Kenny as well. Another text contest, and I use the word contest loosely. If you follow along, I don't make this difficult. But I just want you to... It's kind of one of those things, you know, by law, you have to answer a skill testing question for any kind of a giveaway. And it's usually like a ridiculously simple math question that people can still mess up, but it has to be done, right? So that's the way I kind of approach it. I want people just to, everybody's got a chance. If you get lucky to be the person with the 15th text. So the 15th correct answer, because everybody listens differently. Some of you have the AM radio. Some of you in the iHeartRadio app, smart speaker, however you're doing, HD radio. You're hearing this at different stages here. So that's why we do it that way. And I like to make it, you know, quite simple. And you know how simple I'm going to make this, Kenny? And it's also kind of because I know some people don't like that we even had this conversation about another player. What's Arbor Jacki's nickname that was given to him by Chris Weidman? What's his nickname that a teammate gave him? 12-1200, 15th correct answer, 4-pack of tickets to go see the 67s and the Oshawa Generals on February the 17th will be yours. We're back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200. Join us coming up on our next segment, so we'll talk more about some news that we're getting from our good friend David Foote, who calls the games for the Belleville Senators. I think most Sens fans familiar with David. Good follow on Twitter for your BSens updates, at Footy on Air. On Ridly Gregg, and when we had Ian Mendez on earlier, he kind of intimated and suspected this might be the case. Troy Mann has said that when it comes to Ridly Gregg, who was one of the three players optioned back to Belleville after the game last night in Montreal, and the others being Mark Kastelic and goaltender Matt Sogard. Gregg, quote from Troy Mann, he'll come down and get three practices in, then take part in the AHL All-Star break. After that, the Sens will reassess what the plan is for him. So he's not going to play, because Belleville has games tomorrow and Saturday. So he's going to get three practices in, not play in the games, and then the Sens will reassess what happens. So to me, that is exactly what it looks like. The reassessment's going to be you will be recalled, and you're going to play against the Edmonton Oilers because we need you, because you've played well, and a big part of the reason why things have slotted so much better in the top three lines and on this four-game winning streak. So there's that. He's going to just stay fresh in practice in Belleville. When it comes to Kastelic, Troy Mann says he's nursing a, quote, minor upper body injury, won't play this weekend. So he, again, will not play. But he's expected to travel the team to Cleveland and play next Friday night. So that's at the very end of the break. So that leads us to believe that, you know, Kastelic at this stage is not scheduled to be recalled, you would think, right away, because the Sens play next Saturday. The Friday is the 10th. Sens play the 11th against the Oilers, and that's a two-game stretch in Cleveland, by the way, for the B-Sens. Sogard will take the pregame skate tomorrow, and he's going to chat with his goalie coach, Justin Peters, and anticipates he'll start coming up on Thursday. So there you go, okay? Saturday. There's your update on three players that were optioned back, courtesy of David Foote, relaying the information from Troy Mann. Kenny, really quick on this, because I want to pivot to something else before we bring Gord on. This makes sense on Ridley Greig, because it'd be fine to say, keep developing and play, but yeah, on the surface, that would make sense. But he's just played too well, and the Ottawa Senators need him. Like, it's not about, hey, he deserves to come back up, so we'll play him a couple games and we'll call him back up. It's like, I'm not saying bubble wrap, right? But playing him in games where something could happen, I guess, and you can still get hurt in a practice, I get it. He's too valuable right now to the Ottawa Senators to maybe, if you can mitigate the risk and just keep him fresh and skating and practice and ready to go, sure, do it. But don't play him, because you need him back here to play Edmonton coming up on the 11th.
Yeah, when Ian brought out that theory, I was skeptical. I wasn't 100% on board. I don't know if I still am. Three practices, and he's been deserving of staying up here. Three practices over 9-10 days. Well, I guess they're coming back on the 9th, so you're looking at eight days away. That's not terrible, but I am surprised that he's not playing in games, and I know the risk of injury, and you can't afford to lose him, but a risk of injury can happen anywhere. You could lose him in the first game back. You can lose another important piece. It happens everywhere. It happens anytime. I am surprised that they're not continuing to play him down in the AHL. I understand why, but I just thought that they would continue that development. So I don't know. I understand it, but it's not. I don't think it would be something that I would do. Just to have him practice. And if you do want to have him off for not playing games, then reward him. Okay, you played well for four games. Go off, have your break, go enjoy the sun, put on some weight, eating all down south, whatever, all-inclusive. Go enjoy the buffets, and then come back and resume your stellar play.
All right, just ahead of Gord, I just want to get back to, the biggest sports story, you know, in North America today is Tom Brady. At 8 o'clock this morning, sent a tweet out, a little video of him on the beach, announcing he is retiring, and it appears this time for real, on the one-year anniversary of his false start retirement that lasted 40 days. So at the age of 45, Tom Brady is finally done. He's got that nice soft landing spot to make $375 million over the next 10 years to be Fox Sports lead analyst, which is nice. Nice, he's got that going for him. That's good. So that happened this morning. We covered that off earlier. Any more thoughts are always welcome on that. But I thought when it came to the NFL, I had a few other stories we haven't even touched on that I was going to get to, but that kind of just trumped it, right? Sean Payton, speaking of Brady, the word was they were going to Miami together, right, a year ago. That didn't happen. Brady ended up going back to the Bucs to play, and here we are. Sean Payton did a little studio work with Fox. And now Sean Payton, he's getting back in. He is still under contract with the Saints, so we knew this. Any team that hired Sean Payton, and he went through numerous interviews, would have to negotiate a trade, a compensation of sorts with the Saints. Well, reportedly the Broncos are bringing in Sean Payton to be the new head coach, and the Broncos are going to send their 2023 first-round pick, 29th overall, to the Saints, along with a future second-round pick for the right to bring in Sean Payton as their coach. Denver will also receive a third-round pick as part of this transaction. Credit to Mike Killis of 9 News, locally in Denver, reports that Payton's going to receive somewhere between $17 to $20 million per year on his contract with the Broncos. That'll last at least 5 years. And this is apparently fairly common, it'll be more than that because you can get into some off-the-books compensation as well. Sean Payton's going to make a lot of money to be the head coach of the Broncos. So there's that. And then the Brady news, but there was Aaron Rodgers news, as there always is early in the week because he does a Pat McAfee show and he talks. Said he's still making up his mind on whether he wants to return to the Packers for a 19th season, retire, or request a trade. Four-time MVP has noted the possibility the Packers may want to move on from him anyway. Quote, it's going to be a little more time for my decision. I feel confident that in a couple of weeks, I'll definitely feel more strongly about one of those two decisions. So that's still sitting there as well, where Aaron Rodgers lands. And as I tie it back to the other aging quarterback who's 45 and retired this morning, I just saw so Tom Brady retires as, when he made that announcement, Kenny, he was still the odds-on favorite by most books to be the next starting quarterback of the Niners as he announced his retirement. So that's a veteran guy off the board. If Aaron Rodgers isn't a Packer, is there a chance he goes to the Niners in the wake of the Brock Purdy news and where they want to go next as well?
Yeah. I don't know. I'd never get a good read on what Aaron Rodgers is doing, and I try not to look too deep into the way that he's thinking because he thinks he's smarter than everybody else and wants to go about things his own way. So, okay, let him. I think he ends up back in Green Bay, to be honest with you. They're tied too closely together. I don't know if there's a way to separate that unless it's a complete cutting with him completely renegotiating his contract because it's so much money. I don't know whether San Francisco would want to or could fit that under the cap as it's structured now, even though they don't have the quarterbacks that they'll have to pay. They're very well constructed team. So I don't know where Aaron Rodgers is going to go. I'm going to say Green Bay just to have him in Green Bay. The other thing, touching on Sean Payton, that's two first round picks this season that the Denver Broncos won't have, one for Russell Wilson, which would be fifth overall, and now 29th overall, which they got from San Francisco for Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. That's a step back for this franchise that really took a giant step back after acquiring Wilson. Maybe they're hoping that Payton can do the same thing with Wilson that happened with Drew Brees, where Drew Brees wasn't Drew Brees as we know him. Before Sean Payton got there, as far as I remember, he was a well-regarded quarterback, but he really elevated himself once Payton got there and got the most out of him. The year that we just saw Russ have was awful. When I watched games of his, it was horrific watching him play. That's not the same Russell Wilson we knew from years past. Maybe it's age, but I'm guessing that Denver is hoping that the same type of thing can happen, where he's rejuvenated, a smaller quarterback is able to thrive in a Sean Payton-led team. And for the Broncos fans, you kind of hope that that's true.
Well, here's some actual Niners news I'll throw in there before we take a break and bring Gord on. Rather than the speculation Niners news, real Niners news, DeMeco Ryans has been hired as the coach of the Houston Texans. Nothing official from the club, but last I checked, this was according to the AP, and they always hedge it with a person with knowledge of the decision, told the AP. Ryans joins the Texans from the Niners, where, of course, he was their defensive coordinator. There you go. All right, we'll take a break. Top hour break. One more hour still to come here in the box today. Gordon Wilson, who had the call last night with Dean Brown at the Bell Center, called it live as the Sens won their fourth in a row. Gord joins us next as our Sens and NHL insider on In the Box on TSN 1200.